I'm sorry, but I have very little time, so I'll get straight to the point. What are your plans in the next 3 or 4 months?
I must create a holy item for the Emperor in order to free the throne, I answered honestly. There was little sense in doing anything else. My attractiveness with the High Priestess was at 91, and I was friendly with the Priestesses of Aluna, so I could speak the truth, whatever it may be.
So, you already know? The Emperor has shared this secret with you?
Beth froze for a moment.
Then again, I shouldn't be surprised after everything that you've done.
After pausing briefly, Beth started to dig around amongst the files on her table. For a few moments, all I could hear was the rustle of paper and the subdued mutterings of the priestess.
Where is it? You could lose a herd of elephants in here. It's not an office. It's just one big mess. Finally! I can't give you back the ring, Beth continued, giving me a scroll. It vanished the moment I was back in Anhurst. But I owe you a great deal, so I'm offering you the rank of a priest of Aluna. You would skip the novice stage and immediately become a great priest. This matter has already been discussed with the Emperor, and he promised to help. Here's the draft of your agreement regarding the change of your class. You only have to sign it. To the player located in a prisoner capsule, in view of your arrival into the main game world and possession of a positive reputation with the leading NPCs of Malabar, Court Decision Number 45-RS344328 grants you the permission to change your character class. Proposed class, Great Priest. Chosen deity, Iluna, the Light Bearer. Do you agree to change your class, yes or no? This offer is insufficient to express my gratitude, but I have to start somewhere, added Beth, awaiting my reply. Suddenly, a veil seemed to obscure my sight, and a ringing sound filled my head. It was as if my blood pressure had shot up as a result of what I just heard. I even thought it a good idea to simply close my eyes and try to imagine that everything that just happened was a mistake, and that when I opened them again, it would all disappear. But no. The system really was offering me to change my character class from the unpopular shaman to one of the most universal and esteemed classes. The ability to revive players during combat alone was worth a lot, and I would get all of this right now on the spot. I can't. I spoke with some effort, trying not to look Beth in the eye. Experience had taught me that those who consider shamans a weak class understand nothing in this game, and those who know the truth are keeping shtum about it. You refuse?
Elizabeth lifted her eyebrows in surprise. Beth, please understand. Do you think I would have managed to do everything that I have if I wasn't a shaman? It's more than just a class. It's a certain way of thinking, acting, and feeling. You can't describe shamans in words. You can only feel them. I may make a good priest, but I would have to destroy an excelled shaman.
These are all just words. You think my gift unworthy of you?
Overcome with emotion, Beth jumped up from the chair.
Why are women so difficult?
Will I really have to lose reputation with the High Priestess if I wanted to remain a shaman?
Beth, I never said anything of the sort. I can't become a priest. I'm a shaman. You're a coward, not a shaman,
You are being offered a big responsibility, and you're trying to wriggle out of it.
So that's how it is? Then it's time to bring out the heavy artillery.
Beth, if Clowder, I mean Avtendil, and Marianna were kidnapped by Cardass minions, and you were given an ultimatum, either become a warrior or your children will die, what would you choose?
What? How dare you compare such things?
Shouted the priestess. My level of attractiveness in the NPC's properties began to plummet. Currently, it amounted to just 63 points, and if the conversation kept going in the same direction, I could forget about remaining in the High Priestess's favor, with all the ensuing consequences.
Yes, I do dare.
I had also raised my voice in response to Beth's shouting.
Do you think you're the only one in this position? You think that because I'm a shaman I have no responsibilities? Tell me, what would you do?
You are forgetting yourself, elemental shaman.
Beth cut me off sharply, emphasizing the last word. By now, attractiveness had reached 47.
Fine, I will reply for you, I continued. What did you say in Beatwick? Let the children go. We'll stay behind and try to slow them down. You're prepared to face death for the sake of your children. So why do you think that I...
Yes, I would give up everything just so they could live.
Attractiveness was at 34.
But what do you, a male, free citizen, know about children? How can you compare parts of me that have gained their own being with your shamanism?
We had arrived at the moment of truth, the point towards which I had been driving all this time. I was ready to get to the heart of my argument with Beth.
Let's see, oh High One, what you'll say to this, I thought.
I wasn't even looking at the change of class message. The constantly flashing yes, no buttons distracted me only for the first few seconds. Now, as our conversation had descended into shouting, they had grown dim and almost evaporated.
I don't need this. I'm a shaman.
Draco, come to me. We need to sort something out.
Coming. Hello, brother. Did you call me?
Draco appeared right next to me.
Do you remember him?
I asked Elizabeth, who stared at the dragon, eyes wide.
He was playing with your son. If I become a priest, he will disappear. Forever.
Tell me, does he really deserve to be destroyed? Is the rank of the great priest worth the knowledge for the remainder of my life that I was responsible for destroying a dragon?
I'm prepared to fall out with you completely and forever be barred from Iluna's temple as long as my brother remains alive.
Damn. I failed to restrain myself and broke into screaming towards the end. It came out altogether too emotional in the end.
I forgot, said the priestess, stunned,
and I was pleased to see that my attractiveness returned to its initial 91 points, even overshooting to reach 93. I even gained reputation now.
Forgive me.
The priestess's eyes filled with tears.
Forgive me.
Beth, I am very grateful to you for your offer, but you can see for yourself that it was never going to be possible for me.
But I wished it for all the best reasons. I thought being a priest was such a high honor. Do you see this pile?"
Beth nodded in the direction of the pile of papers.
"These are all requests from free citizen priests to retake the rank initiation test. Currently, there are over 1 million of these priests of Illumina in Malabar, and that number is growing every day. I don't know how many priests other gods have, but they are also quite numerous. So, I thought..."
"And you thought you would make me a great one straight away, right? When I know nothing about what it means to be a real priest? After all, there's a reason that people spend so long in the rank of a novice. You have to learn how to communicate with the goddess and how to master your power. And here, a former shaman would become a great priest. Everyone in Anhurs would laugh if I tried to say a prayer."
"That's not that important. You would have learned quickly, so I wouldn't have accepted such a reason for your refusal. But a dragon..."
Beth came up to him and looked at me.
"Can I touch him? I really wanted to do that when my son was playing with him, but I was too afraid."
"What about you, Draco? You don't mind?"
"Of course not. I like it when people pet me."
Draco put out his head towards the priestess, expecting to be stroked.
"Now I can see that for you he is a person and not just a totem,"
the High Priestess said solemnly, in fact, not reaching out to touch the dragon after all.
"You are a worthy shaman, and long may you remain this way. The choice of the character class has been made. Changes have been recorded. Current class, Elemental Shaman. Now, let's get down to business."
Beth quickly changed the topic.
"I asked you about time for a reason. Mayan, the priestesses of Illumina need your help. Quest available. Restoration of a holy relic. Step 1. The history of the missionaries of Illumina. Description. Listen to the High Priestess and learn the story of the missionaries of Illumina. Requirements. Reputation with Goddess Illumina is greater than 0. Reputation with the priestesses of Goddess Illumina is friendly or higher. Quest chain class, rare. Reward for completing step 1 is plus 1500 experience, plus 100 reputation with the priestesses of Illumina. Reward for the quest chain, variable. Penalty for failing or refusing the quest, neutral status with Goddess Illumina."
"I will do everything I can to help the priestesses." I didn't hesitate for a moment in accepting the quest. Something interesting was afoot, and I wanted in.
10 years ago, Beth began the tale after settling in a seat behind her table, before abruptly interrupting herself. "Let your dragon go. There's no reason for him to keep doing laps in my office."
She continued.
"Now then, 10 years ago, as soon as I was removed from the position of the High Priestess and sent into exile, a missionary expedition was sent to the Free Lands. It was comprised of 40 novices, 10 junior and 5 ordinary priests, and the mission was headed by the great priest Midial. Other than the priests, 200 warriors and 50 mages joined the expedition. All of them were at level 200. The official purpose of the mission was to expand Illumina's zone of influence in the Free Lands. But this was a cover. Midial's main aim was to find the Tear of Illumina, the lost amulet of the High Priestesses. According to our archives, it was last seen in that region. As you can probably guess, the missionary party disappeared. Neither Midial nor anyone else from the group ever came back, and all their communication amulets ceased to function.
What happened to them is anyone's guess. What is more important is that the great priest took with him the Stone of Light, and it hasn't been seen since.
The Stone of Light? I interrupted Beth, seeking a bit more detail on this point. What's that?
A concentration of divine light. With its help, priestesses can either drive back darkness or completely restore their strength. With just one use, the stone can restore the power of 2 great or 20 ordinary priests. Afterwards, it needs to be recharged. The recharging happens in a temple. If the stone is placed on an altar, just 2 hours later, it's ready for use again. These stones can have different appearances. Some look like ordinary rocks, and others are statuettes. All the stones of light located in Anhurs are currently standing around the Emperor's throne, shielding the palace from Guernica's cursed dagger. The recipe for making the stones has been lost, so each specimen is precious. This is the complete story. On behalf of the priestesses of Iluna, I ask that you travel to the Free Lands and return with the Stone of Light. Quest. Restoration of a Holy Relic, Step 1. The history of the missionaries of Iluna has been completed. Reward, plus 1,500 experience, plus 100 reputation with the priestesses of Iluna. Quest available. Restoration of a Holy Relic, Step 2. Search for the Stone of Light. Description. Go to the Free Lands. Find the lost Stone of Light that was once in the possession of the great priest Midial, and find out what happened to the missionaries. Requirements. Reputation with Goddess Iluna is greater than 0. Reputation with the priestesses of Goddess Iluna is friendly or above. Combined group level is 600. Quest chain class, rare. Reward for completing step 2, plus 35,000 experience, plus 500 reputation with the priestesses of Iluna, plus 100 reputation with Goddess Iluna. Reward for the quest chain, hidden. Penalty for failing or refusing the quest, none. One more thing, added Beth at the end. You can't travel to the Freelands alone. You will need helpers. I will mark your map with the place where the missionary expedition was headed, but if the level of your group is insufficient, this mark will disappear. Please, don't go by yourself. It's very dangerous.
I won't go alone, I assured Beth, turning over all my acquaintances in my mind. The combined level of 600 is quite a lot. On the one hand, that's just Anastaria and Hellfire together, but I had no intention of handing this quest over to them. I had to get back in touch with my old connections, find Eric and company, and quickly level up. How much time do I have to find it? If the quest could be postponed by a month, I might have a chance to level up at breakneck speed and gain a dozen levels, irrespective of Evelyn's emphatic threats. That would be great.
The sooner the better, but you do have 2 months. Gather your team and return to me. You will all be sent by teleportation to the borders of the Freelands. A month later, I will send other teams. I'm sorry, but this matter is just too important. If we don't hear news from you, I will have to appeal for help from the heroes of the Empire. The stone must be returned.
Changes to the quest, Restoration of the Holy Relic, Step 2, Searching for the Stone of Light. Time given for completion, 2 months.
I hope you will return with the stone, said Beth finally. And now you must excuse me. I am catastrophically behind in getting my affairs in order. Oh,
What's wrong with me? I still haven't thanked you for the rescue. The great priest rank wasn't even the main reward. It's this, said Beth, taking out a small box from under her table. Iluna's high priestess is really quite something. So changeable that you end up feeling you're dealing with a child. She switches to a new topic every 10 minutes. Any longer than that, and her brain just gets too tired. It made me wonder if this imitator got a concussion in Beatwick.
It may not be the Emperor's ring, but you may still find it useful. Wear it honorably.
Beth opened the lid of the box and took out a ring. She looked at it closely for a couple of seconds, as if searching for a flaw, and then handed it to me.
Item acquired. Holy Ring of Iluna. Description, +20% experience gain. Requirements, reputation with the priestesses of Goddess Iluna, friendly or higher. Item class, unusual, blessed.
Minimal description, but the effect was simply amazing. So, blessed items can be rather useful.
That's it. Blessed items. Beth, I also have a certain matter to discuss with you. I've made so many cursed things in Beatwick, it's crazy. I still have some of that dubious ore left as well. Can you bless all of these things? I can't sell them, and it seems a pity to just throw all of it away.
Of course. Put them all on the table. It's time to give my priestesses some proper work. They could use a break from all the heavy-duty flirting with the guards. You can come and collect all of this tomorrow.
Great! Then I'm off to gather my team. The stone will be found. I put on the new ring and headed for the bank of Barleona. A flashing pictogram in the form of a letter had been trying to catch my attention for the best part of the last 10 minutes. This could mean only one thing. I had a message in the mail. Of all possible limitations, I only had tax and the presence of pain remaining, so little comforts like notifications and internal clan chats were now accessible. But who could be so keen to get hold of me?
Chapter 2 Sea Thistles.
"How can I help you?"
the Bank of Barleona gremlin asked in a squeaky voice as his dark eyes looked up at me. "I'd like to get a personal mailbox that would permit me to send mail from anywhere. I was finally getting around to buying the most important item in Barleona, the basic portable mailbox. Many players head to the bank and buy this useful device on the very first day they roll up a character. Now there would be no need to run to the bank every time I had to send a message or read a letter. I'd have it all right there in my pocket. Of course, the basic version doesn't have all the nice features with settings, content sorting, and use of the male intellect imitator, but I saw little sense in buying the enhanced version to get all these things. It's not like I was expecting mountains of mail.
The annual cost of the basic portable mailbox service is 200 gold. Do you wish to make the purchase?
But it used to cost 500, I exclaimed involuntarily, greatly surprised by the unexpected decrease in the cost of the service. Lowering prices in any way, let alone having them, seemed out of line with the corporation's usual way of doing things.
This is the policy of the Bank of Barleona towards persons that have achieved respect with the Emperor,
the gremlin said, somewhat pompously, tearing himself away from his papers.
Should you reach exalted, this service would be provided free of charge. Do you wish to acquire the mailbox?
Well, I'll be. When I played as a hunter, I hadn't managed to increase my reputation with the Emperor by a single point.
and had no idea about a nice perk like that. The saving of $300 a year may not be huge, but was still nice. "Yes, I do. Please deduct the sum from my account." I confirmed the message that popped up about the deducted amount and again turned to the gremlin.
"Your portable mailbox."
I was handed a small folder, showily tied together with a red ribbon.
"Item acquired. Basic portable mailbox. Description: you shall now be able to send and receive mail from any location in Barleona. Annual service cost of mailbox, 200 gold. Does not take up inventory bag space."
I thanked the gremlin and entered my personal room. The flashing icon indicating new mail didn't go anywhere and was telling me that I had 5 letters waiting for me now. I sat down on the uncomfortable chair, noting that I should look into expanding my personal space here to reduce general discomfort, and opened the first letter.
"Only today. New erotic show with a copy of The Great Anastaria. 21+. Ticket price, 2,300 gold. Video recording prohibited. Show venue, the Anhurs Dating House."
Well, I'll be. Spam. Real, genuine spam. It really has been a while. The filters that I had turned on when I was in Beatwick blocked all mail except that sent directly by other players, so in the past 6 months I hadn't seen any bulk messages. After adding the sender to the blacklist to prevent similar messages getting through, I continued to read the rest.
"Clan Ponage Meisters invites you into its ranks. We have a friendly and fun team, and all you need to do is bring your first kill. Repair covered by the clan. We have our own repair experts. Clan Triple X invites you."
And 20 more letters with similar offers. I went through them one by one, wondering why I was never notified of their arrival, and then noticed their date. Most of the letters had arrived well before the events in Beatwick, when I was still under my parole limitations. 5 had arrived just in the 2 hours that had elapsed since my virtual freedom, and here was I thinking that I had received something important, got my hopes up, and all that. I continued looking through the letters with dampened enthusiasm, gradually forming a blacklist of my own. Just in the last few minutes, 4 more spam letters had arrived. Then I finally came across something unusual. A letter from Evelyn. The envelope had a pictogram of a box next to it, indicating an attachment. I pressed the pictogram and saw the list of things that had been sent to me. 57 scrolls, all jewelcraft recipes, judging by the description.
Right.
What's in the message, then?
"Hello, Mayan. First of all, I would like to apologize for the performance that I had to put on today, but everything had to look genuine to the heralds. Imitators, no way around it. I believe that the enormous boon that you managed to hand my clan merits an explanation on my part. So, here it is. The idea of letting people play on the side of Cartus has been floating around the corporation for some time. They did their best to keep a lid on it, but you can't get away from the human factor in the workforce. So, if you know your way around the net, not only can you find the description of all the new races and classes, but also make an approximate prediction of the update's release date. About 6 months ago, it became clear that all the preparations have been completed and that the corporation was ready to launch the scenario. By some unfathomable miracle, you have ended up being part of it, so I can only hope that your luck will hold out. As soon as the heralds told us that members of the clan have been banned from appearing in the Krong province, it became clear that the scenario had commenced. Constantly coming second can get very tedious, so the decision to transfer the clan to Kartus was taken at the clan assembly. We conducted a clan-wide survey and established our base, 4,000 players who were prepared to move to Kartus. The rest of the rabble was removed from the clan, just as Plinto was. Unfortunately, people like him are uncontrollable. Please keep that in mind when creating your own clan. So all we had to do was wait for the start of the transfer and become the first clan of the Dark Empire. That is when I had a very interesting idea. According to the rumors that reached me, the worse your reputation with the Emperor and the Empire, the easier it would be to transfer your clan, even going as far as gaining respect with Kartus and the Dark Lord. At the clan assembly, we decided to put a player with a positive reputation with both required factions on our official blacklist, so we could end up deep in the minus. It's not possible to just add people to this list on a whim. You need approval of a herald and a dramatic performance. Everything had to be official and clear, including the over-the-top rhetoric. Otherwise, it wouldn't have worked. So I played my part in the theatrics. We've spent some time looking for a victim, even considering adding Eckler at first. But he had positive reputation with too many useful factions with which we also would have preferred to remain on good terms. Thracinians, for example. And then you turned up. The Emperor expressed his gratitude to you, and this could only mean that your reputation with him is higher than friendly. Then I took a chance, and, as you can see, hit the mark. Aside from the Malabar factions, you don't have any reputation leveled above friendly. Just moments after the Herald took you away, I was contacted by the representatives of the corporation expressing their thanks for finding a loophole that allowed a very favorable migration to Kartus. This move has already been blocked, so it can't be used a second time, but our clan was left as it was. We acted within the framework of the game and didn't break any rules, so there won't be any penalties imposed on Dark Legion. Thus, when in 3 weeks' time we migrate to the other empire, we will already have respect with Kartus and the Dark Lord. I realize that the next 3 weeks will be very tough for you, and would like to offer you at least some compensation for the moral damages suffered on my account. I know that you are a very skilled and exceptional jeweler. The cursed chess pieces are proof of this. So I'm sending you jewelcraft recipes that cannot be bought from the trainers. All of them are drops from dungeon bosses, and all are of rare, and some even epic, quality. So I believe they should be sufficient to compensate you for any distress you might experience. I don't want to send you money, as that's unimaginative and will mean that I've bought you. Yours sincerely, the head of the Dark Legion clan, Evelyn. P.S. I hope my idea will not affect the clan's reputation with the Dark Lord. As far as I know, you are in good standing with him as well. It would be a great pity to make that mistake. P.P.S. Try to vanish from places frequented by players for the next 3 weeks. Take a trip to the Freelands. Go on a walkabout or focus on leveling up. Neither I nor the Dark Legion clan have any desire to be constantly sending you for respawn. P.P.P.S. Rather a lot of postscripts here. The only thing I will really miss is the cursed chess pieces. They will disappear the moment we move to Cartus. This has already been verified. I hope that the recipes that I sent will aid you in creating something as beautiful and magnificent. All this hit me like a bolt out of the blue. There was so much information, and all of it so interesting. It was quite overwhelming. Plinto was removed from the clan because he was uncontrollable. I now have a ton of recipes that were not normally available for sale. The Dark Legion is preparing to migrate to the Dark Side. Stop. Shouldn't I have a letter about that as well? Only 2 unread letters remained. I looked at the senders. Barleona Administration and Reptilis. Reptilis's letter came with an attachment. That green lizard probably sent me the rest of the money he owed me, so that can wait.
Dear player, we would like to inform you that from today you have the opportunity to transfer your character to the side of the Cartus Empire. If you decide to take this step, utter the phrase, "I call upon a magister. I request your assistance," and you will be teleported to the nameless city, the capital of Cartus, and offered the choice of a new race and class. You can find the description of all races and classes in the game manual. Number of times you can refuse to change your empire, not more than 2. After the 2nd refusal, the transfer of the character will become impossible. Duration, a month from the moment you read this letter. To the owners of the clans, you can transfer your clan to the Dark Side of Cartus only if you have the written agreement of each clan member. Yours sincerely, Barleona Administration.
A transfer to Cartus. Maybe I should just throw in the towel now and become a Dark One? I opened the manual and immersed myself in reading. Trolls, Thorin, undead, ogres, dark bloods, ashen elves. Well, I'll be. Over 20 previously inaccessible new races. For players who love everything new, this was paradise. New quests, new lands, new skills, new everything. I thought about moving to Cartus for a few seconds, but then smiled and shooed that thought away. I'm quite happy in Malabar, as it happens.
"Hi, Mayan. This is Reptilis, the one you sold the dress to. Here is the remainder of the money, and huge thanks for the dress. I'm lost for words in expressing my gratitude. Once again, please accept my apologies for trying to lead you like a sheep to the slaughter. I had no idea that things would turn out this way. If you ever need help, just say the word. I'll do all that's in my power straight away. Tillis."
So, it looks like Anastaria did like my dress after all. The greed toad heaved a deep sigh one last time, and with sadness saw the 24,500 gold drop into my purse. The time had come for me to reap the results of my work. I opened the folder and started to write letters. "Hello, Marina. Listen, you know that I've been put on the Dark Legion blacklist, so I'll be in hiding for the next 3 weeks.
Consequently, it won't be possible to meet up with you in the near future. Let's do the following. As soon as I know that I'm no longer under threat, I'll contact you. Daniel.
This player is not currently in the game. Your letter will be delivered later.
First of all, I postpone the meeting with Mirida to an unspecified point in the future. I had already decided that we should meet, so it made sense to warn her that I was about to vanish for an uncertain amount of time. Something was telling me that I had to speak with her. But to be honest, I had to admit that I was afraid of this meeting. In the first few months, I would have given a lot to look Marina in the eyes, but now, after I had actually seen those eyes, even just those of her avatar, I had no negative feelings towards her. I realized that I felt neither anger nor rage. Emotions had ebbed away, leaving only the harsh reality behind. Still, it felt so strange to sign with my real name. I had become so unused to it in the last half a year that I had begun to forget it. I had to try to use it more often, or after my release, in 7 years' time, I would still be insisting that my name is Mahan. Right after the letter to Marina, I wrote letters to my former acquaintances, with whom I've played for almost a year and a half, and asked to meet with them. I urgently had to gather my own team, preferably made up of people that I had known before. Illinium was a junior priest of Illuna. Since we were going on a quest handed to us by priestesses, he was bound to get some special bonus out of it. Just a few months before I ended up in prison, Sergei, as he was called in real life, had become a father, so he disappeared from Barleona for a while. I hoped that his little son was doing well and that Illinium was still playing. Duki was a rogue. In real life, he was Johannes, from some Berlin suburb. He was an interesting guy, with whom you could talk about almost anything, ramble through an adventure together, and generally have a great time. That's as long as he keeps his feet on the brakes. If Duki really lets rip, you'd better hang on. I've hardly ever seen such a nitpicky brainiac. Sushiho was a necromancer. Real name, Paolo, a genuine citizen of Rome. He was a 2-meter-tall teacher of Eastern martial arts, but chose a little gnome as his game character. He wanted to cast himself against type, and he managed it very well. We met up outside the game a couple of times, and we always treated this giant as a shorty. All of us spent a great deal of time together, and even wanted to form our own clan, but never got around to it. Now, there was finally an opportunity to make those old dreams a reality. On several occasions, after getting out of the mine, I almost wrote to them, but each time something stopped me. Although this was no something, I know exactly what it was. I didn't want to hang my problems on others. Even if I wrote to them that everything was fine, I would have had to tell them about everything that had happened. What was the sense of burdening them with such boring and unnecessary information as my imprisonment? After these guys, the list of my good acquaintances had run out. Now only Eric, Klutzer, and Leidy remained. I had known these three for only 2 weeks, but in that time they had shown themselves to be real men, so I immediately wrote a letter to each of them, proposing that we should meet up tomorrow morning at the Jolly Noom Tavern. The blacklist kicked into action only at the end of tomorrow, so I had a little bit of time on my hands. I think that's it. Although, no, there was one more outstanding debt that simply had to be settled. I opened the map of Cardis that I got from the leader of the Dark Goblin mining incursion. It contained 20% of the old Cardis territories. I wondered whether the map remained current or became seriously outdated after the game update. A good question to which I would have loved to know the answer. But this wasn't that important right now. When he sent me that small mountain of jewelcraft recipes, Evelyn handed me a truly massive gift. I had to give him a corresponding reply. I highlighted several areas of the map close to the capital, made a copy of these, and sent it to the leader of the Dark Legion clan under the heading, A Favor Returned. I may have only shared half of my 20% with him, but I thought this was sufficient not to feel indebted for the rest of my life. The greed toad prevented me from sending the entire map, having risen up in arms in defense of its interests. Now, I really was done. I've sent out all the warnings, meeting requests, and thanks. I could now proceed to pat myself on the back. Although, on reflection, there was one more thing I needed to take care of. Anastaria. The thought of my scaling items was bothering me. What if they get forgotten? Despite there being an agreement in place, unbreakable as it was, I'd still rather play it safe and refresh the memory of the party involved. Speaking, Anastaria's divine voice filled my personal bank room. Anastaria, this is Mahen. Have you already been transported?
No, we had to port ourselves. To what do I owe the honor? I'm beginning to fear calls from you.
Judging by the girl's cheerful voice, she was laughing.
You either chuck me into some backwater shrubbery or turn up demanding to steer a raid. What did you find this time?
No, I'm calling you about a totally mercantile matter right now. When can I get the Thracinian items that Phoenix promised me? You see, Evelyn just declared open season on me, so it would be good to get them now, and not in 3 weeks' time.
Not right now. I'm not in Anhurs. Let's meet in 2 or 3 hours. It will be just gone midnight, and there will be fewer people around. You could barely squeeze through the crowd stomping through the city right now. Let's meet on the central square. The Thracinian place is located nearby. That work for you?
All right. I'll see you in a couple of hours. I am already on the square. Just dial me as soon as you're here, and I'll come right away. I'll have a look around the shops in the meantime.
Good. Catch you later, then.
Anastaria disconnected, but I was wary of her good mood. She was suddenly very calm and approachable. Something wasn't right here. I would have to be very careful during our meeting and keep my tongue in check. I was about to leave, but then saw that I had just received another letter. Strange. Everyone seems to be writing to me these days. I opened the folder and looked at the author. It was Evelyn.
Mayan, we urgently need to meet. In 10 minutes, in the Golden Horseshoe Tavern. It's on the central square in Anhurs. I've reserved a table. Evelyn.
I'm looking for a decent clan to transfer to Cardus. Those headed for Cardus, join us. It would be easier in a clan. Selling 20 black fox pelts, 10 gold each.
The last message stuck out of the general flow of messages like a sore thumb. Anhurs had descended into the chaos of people preparing to move to the nameless city, and I cringed as if beset by toothache. How could I forget that aside from the advantages of being a free citizen, there were also the downsides, such as general city chat? Although Farstead also came with various messages from players, they didn't form such an endless din that was now stressing out my ears. Until you fix the general chat settings, filtering out the unwanted channels, you end up hearing and reading everything on offer from players across Anhurs. Obvious trolling and flooding were forbidden, with the imitators keeping a close eye on this,
But even just the shouts searching for groups and seeking sale or exchange of goods combined into an endless clamor. When I was walking to the bank, I didn't take any notice of this. But now the players were really letting rip. Cardus beckoned for many. I quickly went to the settings and added a filter, which sorted types of messages into groups, then breathed a sigh of relief and headed to the tavern. On the outside, with its gray walls, dingy doors, and dirty windows, the Golden Horseshoe didn't stand out in any way, but that didn't stop it being the most expensive tavern in the capital, and therefore the whole of Malabar. This was the place where Barleona's elite would head to celebrate the successful completion of a mission or a raid. Phoenix is thought to have started this tradition by holding a great party there after it won its first prize for completing a dungeon. Only players who specialized in cooking could be chefs in the Golden Horseshoe, and they were paid a handsome salary for their work. Each year, this elite tavern held contests for the best chef in Malabar, offering a job to the winner, and the competition for this position could be stiffer than for gaining the best clan title. Just the names of the dishes were quite taxing on the brain, as you struggle to imagine something like grilled flying camartin with slices of devil sore served under Rwandan rosemary sauce, sautéed crocolisk in fox-rabbit skin. The dish's names certainly created an impression. I opened a squeaky door, noting that at least in this regard the developers didn't have to overdo it, and found myself in a fairy tale. Firstly, I immediately found myself in a tuxedo. The system determined that I had a right to enter the building and dressed me in what suited the status of the establishment. The tux was an ordinary illusion, not affecting the stats of my gear in any way, but it still felt very strange. You had to know how to wear a tuxedo, otherwise it would end up looking like it was stuck on a mannequin. A couple of steps later, I realized that it was a skill I completely lacked. Secondly, the inner decor of the establishment presented a stark contrast to its external look. There was gold, crystal, sparkle, and, for some reason, red satin that pretty much summed up the dazzling sight that met me. Everything was so rich and expensive that I couldn't help feeling totally out of place here. With my paltry 60 and a bit thousand gold, I had no business being here. It would have only bought me the entrance fee and a couple of appetizers. Drinks were out of the question.
"Please, you're expected..."
One of the waiters distracted me from close examination of a statue depicting a battle of an orc and a dinosaur. I was being addressed by a player. That was the way things were done in the Golden Horseshoe.
"Well, hello once again, you walking surprise,"
Evelyn greeted me cheerfully from a sumptuous armchair. An identical tuxedo to the one I was wearing looked so natural on him that I felt embarrassed by my own stiffness. A snow-white napkin, as if any spills or crumbs were even possible in Barleona, was lying on his knees. The table occupied by the leader of Dark Legion was laid out for two people, and the selection of silverware provided was pushing the boundaries of reasons. 5 spoons and 6 forks. What was this? Did someone want to humiliate me and show up my lack of proper table etiquette? In your dreams. Clowder, I should find you and definitely make you another dog figurine, or even two. Even though I didn't really have much practice in applying my posh table manners, the lad had drilled them into me so well that I was quite sure of myself. So, my good sir, two can play this game.
especially if I keep in mind that I've been given a chance to enjoy top-notch exotic food at someone else's expense, no less. I had no intention of paying. So where's the menu, and what does their drinks assortment look like? Bevelet grinned when I used the salad fork in the right place and sent off the waiter to get another one for the fish.
You continue to surprise me. I'll be honest with you. I expected you to stare at the cutlery in complete bewilderment and make silly mistakes. But it looks like I could learn a thing or two from you instead. Where did you learn all this?
Everyone has their secrets, I said meaningfully, finishing the contents of my glass. It had to be said that the food at the Golden Horseshoe completely justified coming here. I was currently sporting all kinds of buffs. Plus 20% experience for 4 hours, increase of all stats by 10%, and the ambrosial drink with a faint greenish glow increased my energy to 200 points. It would only last 3 hours, but the taste that I was experiencing was out of this world. Speaking of the taste, despite the fact that the majority of the players in Barleona didn't experience any sensations, the sensory filters were turned off in the taverns, giving a player, who might be on a strict diet in real life, a chance to enjoy a very delicious cake without a worry about the millions of calories. This was a very effective marketing move on behalf of the corporation. There weren't all that many places where the sensory filters were turned off. Taverns, dating houses, arenas, and, as it turned out, certain quests such as Saving Gray Death. The rest of the time, players didn't have to think about feeling anything inside the game.
Since we've already begun the conversation, allow me to tell you why I sent you this urgent invitation.
Evelyn took a break from his food.
The answer is simple. The map. I received your present, looked at it, and saw that I absolutely had to have the full version.
The full version? I decided to feign utter surprise, playing at being totally clueless about what he meant. At the same time, I was trying to figure out how the leader of the Dark Legion clan could have found out about the map. The goblin prisoner? Unlikely. Perhaps the Herald let it slip? Quite possibly, but then...
Yes, the full one, smiled Evelyn, as if listening in on my internal monologue. It looks like you're still a beginner cartographer, if you don't know that each copy created contains the description of which part of the original has been provided. You've sent me 50% of the map, and I found it quite fascinating. So much so, in fact, that I am prepared to discuss the matter of acquiring the second half.
I took a break from the food, opened the map, and prepared a copy of a small part of it. I looked at the properties of the copy and cursed through my teeth. It was true. Not only did it bear the record of the author, but also the source from which the copy was made. Moreover, everything was editable, and if I had wanted to conceal the information, all I had to do was delete it. If I had only known.
I see you're not taking the old man at his word.
I was once again greeted by Evelyn's smile. He was clearly enjoying all of this. He leant back into his armchair and was in such good spirits that I immediately wanted to do something bad and unpleasant to him to wipe that smirk off his face, even for a minute. I could just take this fork and... what's happening to me?
I somehow never noticed such bloodthirsty tendencies in myself before. Something wasn't right. After looking through all my buffs and debuffs, I found the reason. Berserker, lasting 10 minutes. Bugger it!